Hey, family, I'm Eric Nack James. I first and foremost like to thank Almighty God, without a doubt, my greatest source of strength and courage. I'd like to thank the program committee for thinking about me. I'd like to thank everyone who's here who continues to participate in their personal recovery. I'm going to get right at it because I really want to hear Ronnie. Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Throughout our recovery, one of the things which stands out as a result of our working the steps is our success in building a relationship with the God of our understanding. Our initial efforts resulted in the decision we made in the third step. We continued by working the following steps, each one of which were designed to clear away whatever barriers might stand between our higher power and ourselves. As a result, we are open to receive our higher power's love and guidance directly into our lives. Now, when I got here, they told me, listen, James, this is going to be an inside job. All that you did before you got here, it's not going to work in here. I started using it in 1963. My clean date is January 1st, 2002. All that, what you did before you got here, is not going to work in here. But I arrived here believing if I just put the first one down and don't pick that up, that I would by some kind of miraculous way become better. I didn't know when I put the drugs down that the fiend was going to show up. And so I had to learn how to deal with this step work. Did you notice what it said in there? I need the guidance and the love of my higher power, but I got to get all that stuff that blocks that. In my life, the number one thing is that triangle of self-obsession. My resentments, my anger, and my fear. I'm just going to give you a little bit about me. I'm born in 1950, and I'm a biracial child from 1950. Okay, this is before a whole lot of things that are in place now were even thought to be in place. There was a whole lot of judgmental stuff that was going on that affected me as a child and throughout my life growing up. These are some things that formed and shaped James's personality and made me choose sides. But in the choosing of a side, I neglected the other side. So I never was really myself. I always wanted to gravitate to the side that I thought that was more responding to me, as opposed to the side that I thought rejected me more. Although I'm walking around with both pieces to me. Now, in other words, that's like saying, okay, Dad, me and you is cool, but Mom, me and you ain't cool. Then the confusion and the contradiction that needed to be sorted through, I'm talking about four-step stuff now. Remember, I got to get rid of all that junk. I know how to stay stuck. I came to believe, I'm trusting God, now I need to see. What am I trusting Him about? He said, here's your problem. You have a tendency to want to fit in with folks. And when you want to fit in with any one particular group of people, you isolate yourself from the rest of yourself. Your mother ain't disrespecting you. Your mother is showing you love. I felt that love. I understood that love. And I also at times had to defend that love. Again, you got to remember when I'm coming around. As I'm growing up, in the area where I'm from, I wasn't born in the inner city. I didn't eat out garbage cans. I don't come from a broken home. My parents were educated, and my grandparents were educated. So that's not my story. I didn't have that to see. But this something called addiction made me not be satisfied with what I was already receiving. I'm talking about the love. So I would be going shopping with my mother at times, and people would pull up beside and roll the window down like they're getting ready to ask for direction. I want you to picture this now. You got to go back a little bit. And they would look over at her, then look over at me, and then call her a nigger lover. Now I got to hear this. And I'm seeing the faces that's saying this. Now, but when I go back and I'm, as I grow and I begin to become more athletic, now I'm okay. Oh, you're a star player now. I'm okay in this town where I'm being raised up in. But if I go over past the stop sign into the next town, I'm right back to that end again. So all it now, wait a minute. On the other side, I wasn't dark enough. Or you're too yellow. Or you're a half-breed. Or you're a mama's boy. So naturally, my instincts, my human instincts, those things that block God coming into my life, caused me to choose to become defensive and offensive at times. For the first 18 years, I'm struggling with this, and then I'm coming from basketball practice, December 18, 1968, and I received a phone call, and it says, come to the hospital immediately. I don't like the tone already. So I go, and when I get there, I come to find out that the same one who called my mother a nigger lover was drunk and killed both my parents. Now all this stuff stirs back up. Mind you, this is before vehicular homicide is in place. And so this guy gets a slap on the wrist and it's deemed an accident. I'm talking about the resentments now. I'm talking about those things that the God of my understanding can't come into. Because he's about love. He's not about that. I'm very angry. I don't know what to do with this anger. So I misdirect my anger. And this goes on and on and on for the next four decades. I don't have the coping skills. And the very one that I despise, I picked up the same thing that caused them to kill my parents. But I'm thinking, I'm better than you. You got the problem. I didn't know how to cope. And now I come in here, and they tell me alcohol is a drug. What? They told me, you really want to get a feel of what this fellowship is about, become a greeter and hug them at the door. And so God was doing for me what I wasn't able to do for myself. He was breaking down the prejudices. Because I would hug people. I wouldn't ask them what their drug of choice was. And some of those folks, over time, I heard their story. And they said alcohol was their drug of choice. Now, they was cool enough for me to hug and hang out with and go get coffee with prior to me hearing this. So now, James, you got to go to work. Because that is not the one who killed your parents. That's a suffering addict just like you. And so it's starting to minimize the defects of character. Somewhere in here, in our sixth step, it talks about it's a lifelong process that can only come about from deep internal changes that only the presence of a loving God can do for me. So when I look at the 11th step, the 11th step says, you ain't got to look for him out there. He's in you. But you got to get yourself in a situation where you can know that he's in you. I often say this to a lot of people, my friend that rode up with me. I said, I hear people say, yeah, I believe there's God. Okay, that's great. Do you know him? That's a whole nother thing. That takes experiences. Okay? That takes work. That takes spiritual awareness to see how God is working in my life. One of the things, more recent things that happened to me, because I was sharing with a friend of mine earlier on this step, it says there's nothing, listen to me, there is nothing. So a lot of stuff in recovery, but there's nothing that requires as much courage as trying to live according to a higher power's will when there's frequent pressure not to. I had an incident at my home group. They asked me to go and pick the literature up. I go get the literature. I take the car back. I had a friend with me. You ever get into a conversation with somebody and you're just engrossed in the conversation? So I take the car back to its owner. I forgot the stuff in the car. I called the group immediately and said, okay, I'll get it when I go back out there. Oh, man, James just stole the home group's money. He done this, he done that. This is the very mouths that I had called and let them know what was really going on. Now, see, there's nothing that requires as much courage as not to retaliate. See, because some of them very folks that were saying these things, I had stuff on that they had personally shared with me. Not third-party stuff, some intimate details about their life. And God is saying, now choose, because I ain't going to force my goodness on you. Even after I went and got the stuff and brought it back to them, as much as they talked about what they had thought I had done, they didn't say a damn thing about what that was straightened out. So now it festers so much that when I come in to sign up today, somebody says, oh man, I heard some bad things about you. Way up here. I get a phone call from Washington, D.C. They said, man, I heard they ran you out of town. Now, I got to put some principles into my life. I can't hate the person, but I certainly dislike the disease. And so what happened was, I began to be lifted to another level where I can know how God works in me. My thing is, I don't want to pray for these people. Me, I don't. But the spirituality says, pray for them. Because we come in here with different degrees of illness and rate of recovery. I need to understand that. You told me in the eighth step, it's nice to get in touch to understand instead of always being understood. And so these are some of the things that moved out of the way. God moved them out of the way so I could feel His presence in my life. And I look back and I check my evidence. What He has carried me through clean. I carried 6 more family caskets to the grave since I've been clean. The last 6 of my claim. I didn't use. I was engaged in this process. I just knew this is the one. Didn't work out. I didn't use. And I didn't get behind here and character assassinate the folks after things didn't work out the way I wanted to. But the more will be revealed aspect to the 11th step was this. I have a belief system that wasn't their belief system. And down the road, that was going to clash. Because mine is solid. It says some of us will find a spiritual path that works for us. Now I got to stay on that path whether someone else does or not. I didn't know that then. The results are my life today and their life today. I have contentment. I have the peace. There's something about knowing how God operates in my life as opposed to thinking how He operates in my life. And so what is will, James? One of the definitions of the word will is choice. So I'm trying to improve my consciousness. By the time I get to the 11th step, I should have a God consciousness by now. All that, once an addict, always an addict, that's gone. All the excuses and the rationalization and justification, save it. You do have a choice to choose to live right. Takes a lot of courage to move away from the conversations that once used to tickle my ear, that I wanted to entertain. I had issues with relationships. At 61, I'm 61 now, some of that came about. I said, man, I sure don't want to end up on the front porch by myself. But underneath that is the fear of loneliness. And so God worked with me through the surrender process. I had to surrender to the fact that, you know what, if it's just me and you, it's going to be okay anyway. Then and only then did I feel the presence of the peace that's available to me in this process. So I've had all these opportunities to work on myself, to heighten my awareness of how God is working in my life. I told my friend who I rode up with. I saw him on Tuesday. Now listen, I'm trying to connect every kind of ride possible to get up here. 3 of them canceled. I had seen this person probably in a couple years. And they come to my home group. I felt to ask them, were they coming up here? They said, yeah. In fact, they had to do something up here. Now, that ain't my will. I ain't that brave. Now, on the way up, the conversation strikes up. Right? Don't forget the other part, the power to carry out that will. I've found that the power of the 11th step really lives in 12 for me. They're going through something. Can you be available? Can you be available to help this one. Because it's only you two in the car. Now they thought their son was coming. Their son wasn't supposed to come. Because that would have distracted how I could have been used by the God of my understanding and his instrument to first listen and then secondly share my own experience from what I'm hearing. Not give them no advice. Back to the home group situation. They had entrusted me with getting these speakers. Every year we put on this speaker jam to help send a newcomer to our convention. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that when this was going on, this gossiping was going on, that it didn't cross my mind to wait till the day before and call every one of them out-of-town speakers, because I was the only one that was connected to them, and tell them, don't come. How y'all like that? Now, I know, right? We don't have to stay there that long anymore once you get in this process and really put work in on oneself. I know that, like, the expense of the newer member, that ain't the right thing to do. I know that's not God's will. They come, we fellowship him, here comes the character assassinator through the door. By now, enough time had passed between the initial gossiping, my non-response to it, and them coming through the door. And they came up and they said, hey James, how you doing? See, can I get above me? Dislike the disease in the still suffering addict, but not at the expense of ostracizing them to the point where they feel so uncomfortable they can't hear a message because the guilt and shame that's running in them. You understand what I'm saying? This step, like, and I was telling people, it's like intuitive, just like they said. It's really a hard step to explain because you have to have had a life-sharing experience with it. But I'm going to do my best. And this is one of the analogies I use. I remember my father teaching me how to ride a bike. Remember he used to have the two little back wheels? It's a two-wheeler bike, but they put the two right so you can balance. And you get that, you might get a few days of that one, okay. Then he takes them off. And then they go with you, holding the seat. And they're having a conversation with my dad. And I'm wondering why I don't hear a response. And so I'm pedaling. I was doing fine. Long as I knew he was there. So when I look back and see he's another block away, I go into panic mode. Boom! You know, get them brush burns, might tear your pants in the knee. Think I need surgery. But I always knew where to go to receive the love. And that was home. And it was something about my mother's embrace. And the kiss on the cheek. And the on the knee. And telling me it's going to be okay. That made me feel at peace. When the operation of the 11th step is exactly like that, except it's my life now. In the third step, I make a decision based on my faith to trust this God of my understanding. But by the 11th step, spiritually maturing over living the step and experiencing the step, I've learned that not only can I trust God, I can entrust my life to Him. So that everything that happens this day, from the time I got up and said, God, your will, not mine, is supposed to happen exactly like it's happened. Everybody that's in here was supposed to be in here. It's not a coincidence. They didn't come to my home group on a specific day to make sure that I would be able to get here to accept this assignment and to carry it out. See, the power to carry it out in that case was simply asking for help. You ever hear people in the meeting say, oh, I'm going to know them when God send them to me. Oh, really? My response is always this. Would you recognize him when he do? See, because I have this that makes me think that I know what's best for this. And it's quick for me to forget that this best thing introduced me to y'all. And I'm going to rely on that. But there's something of a nature that lives in me that always been there. Remember? Don't do it. Remember that one? Don't do it, not don't do it. And end up in a jackpot. Well, today, I can hear that. What you talking about, James? You trying to tell me you can hear God? Yeah, I'm trying to tell you I can hear God. You know why? When Ronnie says something to me and I don't see him, he's on other than the phone. He don't even tell me who he is. I know it's Ronnie. You know why? Because I've talked to him enough. So I can recognize the voice. It ain't mine. And this takes practice over periods of time. Getting out of my own will, only to discover that the very things he has for me is all I wanted anyway. You want to fit in? Go to NA. You want to get rid of them prejudices you have? Go to NA. You want to find someone who believes in you and wants to help you just for the day? Go to NA. You really want to see that God wishes for no addict anywhere die from the horrors of addiction, go to NA. Now it's no longer a theory. It's a fact in my life because I've had the opportunity to experience it. Everything that I went through in my life was a necessary piece in order for me to have a sufficient message where someone else can identify with this act. That's why it is attraction. We don't need no soapbox. Everybody knew what I used to do from where I come from. Our meetings are right there in the hood, not on the outskirts. So we get to rub elbows with the folks that we used to do things with who don't look as healthy, who aren't as mentally sound now, who have the look of desperation that I used to have, and the opportunity to carry out the power of God's will presents itself simply by walking through. On an occasion, someone will ask, where you been? You look good. What you been up to? Now God is presenting the opportunity to carry that message. Now I could either take the ball and run with it, or I could go and say, oh, I've just been chilling, taking it easy. Well, So I have to be spiritually aware, heighten my spiritual awareness of what God is doing. Matter of fact, just out here, somebody I didn't think like me. For almost 10 years, I would have bet dollars to donuts they don't like me. But this part was closed. So I'm walking through. I see somebody, ask them, you got a soda or something over there? They said, ask that person. This is the person I thought don't like me. I go ahead and step out. I ask the person. Not only did they offer me something to drink, they fixed me a plate. Because I followed. See? Because God's presence was in me enough where whatever I didn't like, you have to find out, why don't you like that, James? What makes you think that? You don't have that mature knowledge of that. I'm going to show you that you're wrong. And this keeps me balanced. This keeps me from thinking I'm something that I'm not. And it allows me to continue to grow and be open to the suggestions no matter where they come from. So that I can continue to feel and sense the power of the God that's within me that touches the God that's within you. That's why we're His special people. I've come to find out that the greatest gift He gave me besides grace and mercy is favor. Why? Because, James, you can have $1 million tonight. And if I don't favor to wake you up tomorrow, you won't be able to do nothing with it anyway. Thanks for letting me share.
Ron J.
On the 10th or the 11th tradition. So if someone would be kind enough, do you have that in your book?
Yes.
I can't remember the name, but I'm an addict named Ron. It's our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. So that tells me, you know, that it's really about what we do here, not about what we say here. You know, it's about we're carrying a message by the way we live our lives. And that's how it was carried to me by my predecessors. It wasn't so much in the words in the book, or the steps as they were written in the book, but the steps and traditions as they appeared in the lives of those that came before. You know, they were acting the steps, they were living the steps, and the principles of recovery. And that, for me, was the attraction, you know what I'm saying? I think early on, when I got clean, they had a lot more speaker meetings and a lot less discussion meetings. And I remember my sponsor would notice that I'd be like zoning out of the meeting, or I'd be like getting bored, getting up, moving, leaving, you know what I mean, or sleeping through the speaker. He'd say, you know, you need to pay attention there, because everyone that's up there has something that might save your life someday. And you never know just when you're going to need it. But every speaker has something for you. And I'm so grateful for that when I look back, because it helped me develop my listening skills. You know what I mean? And over the years, what I've found is that through picking up what people said and focusing in on what's being said, had a lot to do with the evolution of my program. And those speaker meetings taught me how to listen and coming to meetings. And I remember questioning what these old guys did. They'd be like, yeah, I do this, this, and this, and I don't use anymore, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, what do you do on Christmas Eve? What do you do on New Year's Eve? I mean, you must use for holidays. I couldn't get with the whole concept. But in watching these guys, I gained a new respect because they lived what they taught. And they not only told me they loved me, they showed me they loved me. And it was that attraction. And at those speaker meetings, something wouldn't start to happen. Because I don't know about you, but when I came into the rooms, my mind was full of all this mind chat. There were these voices talking to me, telling me what a no good SOB I was, and how nobody ever did the things I did, and you're no good, you're never going to amount to nothing, and all that crap, that negative crap would be going on. But I'd be sitting at the meeting, and then suddenly I would get out of myself and listening to the person's story who was sharing. And all of a sudden, my mind would get quiet. And I'd feel this peace. Now, it might only last for a moment or a minute, but it was something that I never had. You know what I mean? I used to take drugs. I don't know about you to quiet that shit down. But it would always wake up. But here I would have these brief moments. And what I didn't realize at the time is that I was having moments of serenity and peace. And that was part of the attraction that kept me coming back. It's about attraction, not promotion. You know, people said, oh, go to all these meetings, go to 90 meetings in 90 days. That's not what kept me clean. What kept me clean was coming to those meetings, but seeing how people were living their lives, seeing that people were smiling and laughing, a genuine laugh, and it wasn't put on. People were not only telling me they loved me, but for no matter how many times I slipped and fell, they welcomed me back. When I was down and out and I called for help, they didn't say, hey, you know what, come back when you're clean. They said, where are you? We'll be there. They would drive me off to some detox or drag me to some meeting, you know, and in a loving and caring way, tell me to keep my mouth shut and listen. You know what I mean? And watch. And that's what it was all about. It's about attraction, not promotion. And anonymity, you know, the true spirit of anonymity I used to think was keeping a secret. You know, who you see here, what you hear here, let it stay. Well, that's true. You know what I mean? It's not for me to break your anonymity in that sense and go say, Todd's a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? No, that's not what it's about. But anonymity for me, what I've come to find through my experience is it's the great equalizer. It ain't the person with the most clean time. It ain't the person that has the greatest education. It isn't the person that used more drugs than the next guy. It's all about we're all equal. You know, anonymity is the basic thing that says one of us isn't any greater than the next of us. That we're all great, that we're all basically on that same level. And when it comes to God, now that's what sets apart. You know, so when they talk about anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film, it tells me that what I get in here, I can't brag about I did. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not for me to get on TV and talk about how this thing works. You want to know how it works? Come and watch me. Watch me. You speaking of, because it's not the words I say. Probably the greatest gift I got with regard to this tradition was when I did the ninth step with my father. And I remember my sponsor saying, you can do them however you want, the ninth step. He said, but in my experience, I found if I did the hardest one first, it made the rest of them seem easy. So I thought about that, and I thought, now what's going to be my hardest? Probably my father. I ripped them off, I stole from them, I lied, I threatened them, I swung on them, you know what I mean? How was I going to come and face this guy? And But I remember he didn't get with what this was all about. And he said, you want to do what? I said, I want to do a ninth step. You know, I need to go over some things with you. How long is this going to take? Is that thing? About 20 minutes maybe? All right, because I got things to do. You know, it's a nice day, and I got things to do outside, grass to cut. I can't let this day get away from me. All right, well, let's get to it. So I remember I had a little cheat sheet. And I'd look down so I didn't forget anything. I'd have little notes. But every time I'd quiet and look down, you know what I mean? He'd be like, is that it? Is that it? Are we done? No, no, not yet. You know? And I'd bring up this and bring up that. Let him know that I really regretted it and I was sorry. And he said, finally he goes, is that it? I said, yeah, I'm done. He said, good, because I got things to do. Now I remember, they said, you know, you shouldn't bring expectations into these steps and these principles. But I had expectations. I remember when I was a kid, I'd see Leave It to Beaver. Father Knows Best. And these kids would have this bond with their father on TV like I thought it should be. So I figured when this happened, I was going to have this bond with my father. You know what I mean? All he cared about is getting it over with and getting the hell out and doing what he needed to do. So he reached for the doorknob, and when he said, good, I got things to do, it was like somebody turned a knife in my chest because it didn't meet my expectations. He started out the door, and then he turned to come back. He didn't even take his hand off the doorknob. He said, I just got one thing to say to you. What he said was toss cheap. And I remember thinking that really twisted the knife. You know what I mean? But the longer I'm clean and the longer I came around here, the more beauty I find in this. Talk is cheap. It's not about what we say here. It's about what we do. And over the years, my father and my mother, who recently passed, were watching. And they'd be like, I don't know what you're doing, kid, but keep doing it. You know, and one of the gifts I had in my journey is I had the opportunity to start a little rehab for people that needed help like I needed help. And I was thinking about last night when we had the open house, right? We had the county commissioners there and his people there. My sponsor was there. And one of my predecessors that did the same thing somewhere else. And my parents were there. My mother kept referring to me as my son, the big shot. And I'd be like, no, I was trying to, like, teach, you know, give her the message of anonymity, but she wasn't getting it. She was just so proud and smiling from ear to ear. That's my son, the big shot, over there. But it's about attraction, not promotion. It's really about what we do. It's about how we carry ourselves. It's about how the basic text is carved into the lives of those of us that are carrying the message. Not so much about the words that are written between the pages, but how those words transform lives. So that's kind of like what my experience was. Even if I can't remember, and I try to live it. I have trouble sometimes running them through, and Todd's trying to explain to me, and I'm like, I can't get with it. But that's what it's about. You know, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal income at the level of personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films. And I remember for a while they had NTV. I don't think there's any danger of me getting there, so I'm just grateful to be here and grateful for another day clean. And more important than anything, I'm grateful for the gift of you. Because without you, I wouldn't be here.
Thank you, Lord, for coming to share this experience. Thank you, Noah. Can we teach you how to read and just for today?